Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Don't, oh good Lord, she had them long tail legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. Welcome to another edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And what a great week and an awesome weekend we have had in the sports world once again.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the beginning of the college football season, the end of the NFL preseason. Yeah, it has been a great week thus far.
So what did you take away from the first weekend of college football?
Man, you know, I would be remiss from up in your neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest, Sean, that if I didn't talk about a huge, huge upset and bludgeoning by the University of Washington over the Boise State, a tough Boise State team. I mean, wasn't that a great game to see the opening of Husky Stadium up in Montlake?
Well, it definitely lived up to what the University of Washington had hoped with their hashtag retake Montlake campaign, and Steve Sarkisian's team did just that, only giving up 6 points to the number 19 ranked team in the country. Mind you, the Huskies came into the game unranked. Now, they did get a few votes to be ranked, but not enough to be in the top 25, so you know, they're probably looking at somewhere in the 30s, maybe 40s overall, but that will change or should change after the big win over Boise State.
Well, yeah, you know, and you know, if you look on the lighter side, or actually the more level-headed side, it was a strong game, and that was just one game. And we'll see and see how the University of Washington, those strong Huskies, can come out in week two. But, yeah, make no bones about it, Steve Sarkisian had that team clicking on all cylinders on offense, defense, special teams, the whole nine. And so it has to be an exciting time up there in Seattle.
Yeah, and let's not forget upsets all around. Staying here in the Northwest, how about a college you've been to a time or two, the Eastern Washington Eagles taking out Oregon State?
Man, I can't be any more proud of the Eastern Washington Eagles going down into Corvallis, into a hostile environment, especially a ranked team such as the Oregon State Beavers, and Eastern Washington taking care of business. I mean, that was incredible how they've done that and being world beaters. You have to feel bad about the Oregon State Beavers, who actually, you know, slate these games. This is the second year in a row that they've had a Big Sky team, a Division I AA team to come in. They pay these teams to come in. You need to make sure if you're a Division I A school that you're inviting a team in, and if you're going to pay them, that you're going to beat them. Last year, of course, Sacramento State beat Oregon State, and then this year you have Eastern Washington doing the same. I'm sure that, you know, Coach O'Reilly is going to definitely take a look at how he plans his schedule in the near future.
Now, Sean, what do you think is the reason that Oregon State is tripping up to these lower division schools? Is it the fact that Oregon State's not up for the game, or is the talent that similar and that close between Division I and Division II?
I am definitely going to go with the latter on that one, Sean Wally. I believe that the talent, there is so much talent out there, and there are so many kids that want to play at the highest level that once you're the Alabamas that, you know, pick, you'll get the pick of the litter, the LSUs, the whole nine. Then there are the other players that come in, you know, these players that are still great talents. They wind up going to other Division I A schools, but they also pick Division I AAs and Division IIs because they want to play at the highest level.
It was reported that Division II schools earned over $1.7 million is the figure I heard over the weekend from playing the larger schools. And in the case of Oregon State, Eastern Washington came away with the win, as well as some other FCS schools.
Yeah, definitely. And so one of the other teams that had a huge upset was North Dakota State, that actually beat Kansas State over the weekend. And so what you're finding out, Sean, is that when these schools, these Division I AA schools, these schools that get invited to play the big schools, when they get the payout, they are utilizing that to the best of their ability, for one, to get better facilities and to get better recruiting. And so it's starting to pay off, and you're starting to see a little bit more of a parity go on between the NCAA divisions.
Yeah, and a good guest of On the Double with the Double S Express, Lamont Brightful, had to be very ecstatic that Eastern was able to upend Oregon State as Lamont went to Eastern Washington.
Yeah, you know, and I know that Lamont, everybody who's gone to Eastern Washington, including myself, is very excited about, you know, Eastern Washington stepping up. Of course, year in and year out, they're in, of course, in the Division I AA, they have a playoff bracket, which is something that we're looking into the Division IA having in the near future. And, you know, when you have these teams, you know, such as Eastern Washington going in and beating these top-notch teams, it's exciting all around.
You know, you talk about putting those funds to good use. You know, one of the things that Eastern has done over the past few years is that red turf to distinguish Eastern Washington and where the Eagles and their main color is red, similar to Boise State going with the blue turf over at Boise. Now you've got Eastern spending some money on red turf.
That's right. You know, and so I don't know if any of you have had the chance to take a look at this turf in Cheney, but it is definitely a sight to behold. And if you're not used to it as a player, you know, the uniforms could kind of blend in from time to time, I believe. And, of course, that turf wasn't there when I was there. But, you know, yeah, it could be intimidating for visiting teams, even though Eastern Washington, when they beat Oregon State this past weekend, that was in Corvallis. But you can imagine as a visiting team going in and seeing that sea of red, that could be something that could pull the visiting team and have them fall apart.
Let's head on out to the phone lines and bring in big-time guest number one, and that is John Chalesnik, CEO of STAAtalent.com and sports talk host of many different shows over the years. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, John, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Hey, John, I just, you know, we talked about STAAtalent.com. Tell our listeners what that's about.
Well, we help sports broadcasters advance their career through a variety of services, assistance, and resources.
And so with that being said, how did this come into fruition for you as a broadcaster?
Well, I had been a sports broadcaster myself and lost two jobs over the course of about 6 months back in 2003 and needed to find another way to make a living, and sportscasting was all I knew. So one thing led to another, and I've been helping sports broadcasters ever since.
So for those who are looking into sports broadcasting, and this seems to be a growing industry year in and year out, what can you tell our listeners as far as, you know, should they concentrate or have a focus on one sport, or should they be more general, more broad in what they're looking into?
It's just like baseball or any other sport. The more positions you play, the more valuable you are. And the more things you try as far as sports broadcasting, the more likely you are to find something that you're really good at. I'll use myself as an example. I always wanted to be a play-by-play guy doing NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball, but I had an opportunity to do a sports talk show on Thanksgiving back in whatever year it was, 1993, and shoot, it turned out I was better at that than I was at play-by-play and ended up going farthest as a sports talk host.
Now, John, take us back to the beginning of your sports talk hosting career. What are some of the things you learned early on that helped pave your way to bigger and better things?
Oh, boy, there's so many different things. I suppose one of the most important is go where the jobs are. I grew up in San Diego, but my first job opportunity was in small town Kansas. And even though the culture was quite a bit different, it could have been on Mars. and I would have gone in a heartbeat for the opportunity. That's the first thing. Another important thing is never say no to opportunity. A lot of people don't want to work on their birthday. They don't want to work on holidays. I mentioned I did a Thanksgiving show. I was bummed I didn't, I shouldn't say didn't get to have Thanksgiving with my family, because I did, but after I got off the air. But the point is, if you say no to opportunity the first time or the second time, it may never come back again. So always be willing to work and go where the jobs are, probably two of the more valuable pieces of advice that were given to me.
Now, John, when you got your start calling play-by-play, hosting shows, what are some takeaways that you're now able to give to some of your STAAtalent.com members and help them along in their journey?
Well, the two things I just mentioned are first and foremost. I would also suggest listening to your own work on a regular basis. You're going to be your own harshest critic, and by listening to your own work, you're going to hear things that you don't like or that you want to do differently, and that's going to accelerate your development tremendously. And then I would also suggest always asking others to review your work, and most people are glad to do that because they had mentors that helped review their work and on their way up, and so they're glad to pay it forward. But always be looking to improve is an invaluable strategy in building a sportscasting career.
For those of you just tuning in, John Telesnik with us, former ESPN radio host and CEO of STAAtalent.com. John, why do you think it, for me at least, when you mentioned going back and listening to your shows and listening to some of the things, you know, that you do to get better, why do you think it would be so difficult for someone to do that?
It's not difficult. Some people are frankly just too lazy, or they're not interested enough in their own success to make that effort. I know, for example, when I was doing, in my very first job out of college, I was doing high school football and basketball in small town Kansas, and I would not take the air the following Friday night for the high school football broadcast before I had listened to the previous week's game in its entirety. It's just part of, you know, the sacrifice. It's not even a sacrifice. It's fun. And doing something for your own betterment is not a sacrifice, but it's part of the price that you pay if you want to maximize your ability. So it's not that it's hard to do, just a lot of people aren't interested enough in success to put in the extra effort. A saying that I love, guys, when I'll draw a parallel here. When I was in college, I was a walk-on in the basketball program at Kansas State, and I'll always remember a shirt, I still have it, that my dad gave to me, and on the back of the shirt it said, "Somewhere, someone is working harder than you, and when you meet them in head-to-head competition, they will beat you." It's the same thing in sports casting. I guarantee you that a sportscaster who's not willing to review his own work and solicit the opinions of others and otherwise hone his craft is going to lose out on jobs to the people who are willing to do that. And they're out there, trust me, guaranteed 100%. Those people who are going the extra mile are applying for the same jobs you are. When you meet them in head-to-head competition for a job application, they are going to beat you.
Great words of wisdom from John Telesnik. John, one more question for me. There is a class or a webinar that you have. I believe there's one coming up this Tuesday. Explain some of the ins and outs, some of the things that you're going to talk about in this webinar.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The one Tuesday, tomorrow is sold out, but we've got another one coming up Thursday morning. It's what we call a football play-by-play boot camp. And we do these boot camps for football and basketball, and we'll do them for baseball coming up here in the summer of 2014. But they are live online video conferences that feature me and the boot camp attendees, and we review the techniques that make for great play-by-play. and they're useful whether somebody is trying to go from, you know, major college to the NFL, or if they're just in their very first gig doing high school games in Paducah. That's the purpose of the boot camp. And, you know, all told, we've probably done 5 or 6 of these now for various sports, and they've been very well received. I'm pleased by that. Thank you for asking about it.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, John, now I know when you started out early on, you've told stories about, you know, having to run hundreds of feet of phone cord to be able to find a working phone jack to get your broadcast on the air. And you know, it's stories like that from somebody that's been at ESPN Radio and Sporting News Radio and teaching people how to get wherever they want to be on the sports broadcasting map, that Sean and I together have experienced when we worked with the Tacoma Thunder, and we had to do the same thing, go by hundreds of feet of phone cord, and this jack didn't work, so we had to go up in the rafters and run it down, and it, you know, it gives us a sense of hope that, hey, okay, we've gone through something similar, so hopefully the path can be a little bit even to where maybe someday that we can reach that next level and continue to grow and get better ourselves.
Well, I'm sure you guys will. I know you guys, I know your motivation, but you bring up a more broad point or a larger point. So many people today, young sportscasters, guys coming out of college, just want to go to the major market right away. But what they don't realize is the value of the experience you get in the small market and being able to troubleshoot when something goes wrong. And if you know, you get to the arena and the press box phone jack is dead, what are you going to do then to get yourself on the air? There's just so many skills, some of them technical like that, others, you know, more related to the actual ins and outs or nuts and bolts of the broadcast itself, that you learn in a small market and that you learn in your the opportunities that you get early in your career. And a lot of young broadcasters don't appreciate the value of that. And while I totally understand the motivation of guys like you two, Sean's, of you know, wanting to go, you know, see how far your sportscasting career can take you, also be grateful for the opportunities that you guys have created for yourself today, because that's setting the foundation that's going to be mandatory for you to build upon to your future career success.
Appreciate those great words from John Chlesnik, CEO of STAAtalent.com. John, you've kind of already touched on it, but if you could pinpoint one or two things that up-and-coming sportscasters or just people that think they can go do what you've done at the highest level at ESPN Radio and the like throughout your career, what would it be?
Get repetitions, get practice, whether it's doing play-by-play of a high school football game into your audio recorder while you sit in the stands, or practicing sports updates on your computer at home, doing games on the internet. However you need to do it, go get reps, because that's going to be absolutely critical, you know, to your success. You have to have proof of performance or a tape to give employers to go along with your resume, and the only way you're going to be able to give them a good tape is by practicing. So that's one of the most valuable things that a young sportscaster especially can do to help themselves along.
John Chlesnik of STAAtalent.com. Great pearls of wisdom. John, I do have one more question along the lines of more of a personable feel. Getting started for anybody, getting started in the broadcasting or play-by-play color analyst, for you, how was it? You had mentioned the family life. For the family, for your wife and the kids, did it take a toll on them? Did they all buy in the beginning, or was it something that over time actually came to fruition?
This is one of the more interesting topics that that has ever come up when people have talked to me. It doesn't come up often at all, but it's fascinating, and I enjoy talking about it. I'm lucky in that my family, you know, I started my sportscasting career, my, you know, my family at that time was my mom, my dad, and my sister. And, of course, they were very supportive, and I never encountered any of the parental pressure that I see many of my clients experience along the lines of, hey, you know, we spent all this money for you to attend college, and we don't expect you to be making a taking a $20,000 a year job. That's not why we spent all this money on you. My parents were never that way. They instead understood that that was the industry that I chose to be in, and they wanted to see me be happy. And then many years after that, when I got married, same thing. My wife never pressured me to go get a quote-unquote real job. And she was the primary breadwinner in our family for the first several years of our marriage until I got my opportunity at ESPN Radio. So I'm fortunate in that regard, and I know that a lot of other people in sports broadcasting don't get the same degree of support from their wife or from their parents that I did. And instead, they're, well, I don't want to say often, but I hear it more than every once in a while, where those significant people in a sportscaster's life pressure them to, again, I use the phrase, even though I hate it, go get a real job. And I think what those people miss is that you can't put a price on happiness. And, yeah, there are a lot of people out there making $80,000 or $100,000 a year who despise going to work every day. They dread Sunday nights because it means Monday's right around the corner and they got to go to a job they don't like. But if you're a sportscaster, yeah, you make a lot less money, but you love going to work every day. And your friends think you have the coolest job, getting paid to go to games, going into the locker room and developing relationships with well-known players and coaches and things like that. And again, you can't put a price on happiness. And the parents and the spouses who pressure their, the sportscaster and their family to go do something else that pays more just don't get the pleasure and the happiness and the fulfillment that their loved one gets from being a sports broadcaster.
John, from your time at ESPN Radio and Sporting News Radio as well, you started, as you've mentioned, in small markets and worked your way up. And when you got to, say, an ESPN Radio, were things as glamorous as you had thought they would be or as maybe people perceive them to be that have never been to that level?
It was pretty cool, I got to say. I don't know if glamorous is the right word, but one of the more notable things, won't mean much to anybody as far as being impressive that's not in the industry, but all my way working up, I'd been hosting sports talk shows in San Diego for 8 years. I had to get all my own research done. Well, you get the ESPN Radio, and literally every single day before your show, they're bringing you a ream of paper. And frankly, it's a waste, to be honest. If you're trying to go green, you're going to hate this story. But they bring you a ream of paper. They printed out every box score and every game summary from every game played that night. So if it's fall, say it's September, they're printing you out every college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, all of these box scores and game recaps, stories, of hirings and firings and guys getting in trouble. So that was one of the more notable things that was cool. Another neat thing is, the name recognition. You get a kick out of it because even at ESPN Radio, it's no different there than it is where you guys are right now. It's you and a microphone, and you have no idea how many people are listening. But when you're hosting a national show, you get a big kick out of it. Even now, it's been 10 years since I've been on ESPN Radio. Even today, I come across people, oh, yeah, I used to listen to you on ESPN Radio. And that always makes you feel good to know that it wasn't just you and the microphone, but there really were people out there, and you're grateful for every single listener you have. And that always made me feel good when you had the national stage and so many people that heard you and you might cross paths with later made you feel good that they found you entertaining and that they appreciated the effort you were putting into it. And I'm always grateful to this day for the opportunity to tell a person how much I appreciated them having listened to my show. So those are some of the neat takeaways that I got from the ESPN experience.
Now, John Chlesnik, CEO of STAAtalent.com, and you're a great website for aspiring sportscasters who want to learn and grow and get to the next level, but also for job seekers in the broadcasting business as well, right?
That's right. We've got, hands down, there's not even a second or a third, the most comprehensive job board for radio and television sports broadcasting jobs, from entry-level gigs in radio and television to NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball radio and TV jobs when those come open. They're going to be on our board. In a lot of cases, we work hand-in-hand with those employers to help fill the position. So, we're proud of the resources that we're able to offer. We've got paid services, but we offer a lot of free resources, too. And, take great pride in those.
Well, John Chalesnik, with the three of us here tonight, you've got three guys hopefully earning some points because it is a holiday, and here we are doing a show.
That's exactly right, fellas. You guys didn't ask for a day off. That's how you build a career, man. You work when there's opportunity to do it. And props to you guys. So well done. Keep up that work ethic.
Thanks, John.
Chalesnik, thank you so much for your time. And you can check him out and what he's doing at staatalent.com, staatalent.com. John, thanks so much for your time on this Labor Day.
I appreciate it, guys. I'm flattered at the invitation to have come on, so thank you.
Thanks again, John.
Big-time guest number one, John Chalesnik, with some great words of wisdom, not only what has happened in his sports broadcasting career and where he is today, but how to get to whatever level you want in the sports broadcasting world.
Man, getting a chance to listen to John and, get a feel on what it was like for him to come up in the industry, it's wind in our sails. I mean, I know for me, Sean, just listening to him, I'm like, man, this – just keep going at it, keep plugging away. Repetition was one of the things that he had talked about, and it's true. You have to go at this industry just as if you were an athlete, training yourself, conditioning yourself to become better. And if you don't respect your craft and you don't, put the effort and the energy in, then you're going to just be an also-ran. One of the things that he'd said was, a T-shirt that he would read or that he read growing up, and I saw that same T-shirt, and it was funny when he was saying it, I could see it visually, and I almost said exactly when he was saying at the same time, they will beat you. I was like, man, I remember seeing that as an athlete growing up, and I thought, man, that would never happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. And so, that was some energy that he brought, into me and just saying, man, let's just keep plugging away at this thing. So it was great having John on.
Absolutely. Great words of wisdom from John Chalesnik, and hopefully letting us know we are doing the right thing. And if you want to learn how to get in the sports broadcasting world, visit staatalent.com. And we'll be back with big time guest number two after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we're going to go right back out to the phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number two. And he is Jim Moore of 710 ESPN Seattle, co-host with Wyman, Mike, and Moore in the afternoons. Jim, thanks so much for your time on this Labor Day.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Great, great, Jim. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So I know that you had a chance to take in some college football this past weekend. How did things go for you?
You're talking about the Cougs or the Huskies?
Okay. Well, man, I wouldn't want to talk Husky talk with you.
Okay. Well, good, because things didn't go as well as I'd hoped at Montlake. You know, they had this big campaign about retake Montlake, and so I was all ready to rock that if you stayed at one. And unfortunately, if you're a Coug fan, we know how that turned out with Boise State losing 38-6, and so everybody in purple and gold is beyond giddy at this point, which is really disappointing. But as far as the Cougs go, I was encouraged by what I saw in their game at Auburn. I know they lost, and I know that you could look at it and say, well, gee, if Connor Halliday, if he could take back his three interceptions and take back the 75-yard touchdown run that Auburn had and take back the 100-yard kickoff return, it could have been a much different game. Because, you know, for the most part, if you looked at both teams and didn't know Auburn from any other team or Washington State from any other team, you would have thought that the team in the white and crimson was the better team. It just didn't turn out the way I'd hoped. But still, when you look at a season opener against an SEC team on the road, and I know Auburn was down last year, but I still thought that Washington State played fairly well that night.
No, you're exactly right, Jim. I believe Washington State played extraordinarily in this game, and you have to look at the elements that they went into. Of course, Coach Leach bringing his team down into the SEC, which is considered the pinnacle of college football, and some would say that the winner of the SEC that goes on to win the national championship is actually team number 33 in the NFL. So, you know, I would say hats off to the Washington State Cougars for going down into Jordan-Hare Stadium and representing. I mean, not just staying in the game. They had a chance to win the game late in the fourth.
Well, and they had a couple of chances. You know, they had the first and goal from the eight when they had all the momentum going. They converted a fourth and five, and they ran the ball to convert the fourth and five, which was unbelievable. I guess Connor Halliday is able to make those checks at the line of scrimmage, and for him to call a running play there and have it work, you really felt like the momentum was turning the Cougars' way, and then to just be deflated on that interception where you're going, hey, Connor, what did you see there? I saw a lot of blue jerseys over there and only one white jersey, but it's hard to fault the kid in the season opener because he 35-65, he threw for 300-some yards, and I guess you could say he put us in that position to win. And then they had another shot at it, too, with, I think, 2.5 minutes to go, 3 minutes. And there was a fourth down play that he overthrew badly, and I wish he could have, you know, made a better throw there and at least given his guy a chance to catch it. But all in all, I was encouraged. I mean, I'm at a point here where I feel like they might have a shot of beating USC next week, and I never thought I'd be saying that before I saw the Auburn game.
Yeah, you know, you have to, again, give hats off to Coach Leach and what he's doing in the Palouse and putting a strong football product on the field. I believe that Washington State will be a surprise in the Pac-12. And going down to USC, I mean, that's no laydown for Lane Kiffin and his company. You know, again, Wazoo, great passing, an awesome passing attack, and moving the football was excellent as well.
Yeah, I mean, they not only had the aerial game going, the passing attack, but they had a good running game going, too. And I thought the offensive line was terrific, both creating some holes, some room for the running backs to run, and then also having protection for Connor Halliday. And that's something we didn't see a whole lot of last year. They were last in the country in rushing at 29 yards a game. And then Halliday and or Tool, every time you looked up, it seemed like they were getting sacked and probably – it's because they were getting sacked all the time. 57 sacks last year at Cougar quarterbacks. So, yeah, it was it's one of those things now. You go to USC and their quarterback situation's unsettled. No one seems to be very happy with their coach. And if you watch their game against Hawaii last Thursday, I believe it wasn't like they played lights out against the Wahine Warriors or whatever they're calling themselves these days. And so, yeah, it gives you reason to think that the Cougs might be able to pull off an upset next week.
Jim Moore from 710sports.com, among various other websites throughout the Pacific Northwest, kind enough to join us on this Labor Day here on the Double with the Double S Express. Now, Jim, you've been a longtime newspaper columnist going back to the Seattle PI when it existed as an actual paper. You can find your work in writing right now, 710sports.com, the Kitsap Sun, your own website, jimmoorethegotoguy.com. You're all over the map. And throughout your journalistic career, what are some of your fondest memories that you take away from maybe it's personal interactions with a coach or a player or just a specific game that sticks out in your mind?
Wow. Well, I guess at the age of 56, I've got more of my career in the rearview mirror than I do looking ahead. But, I worked at the PI for 25 years and really had a dream job there. I grew up wanting to cover the Sonics and working for the Post Intelligencer, and I was able to do that in the 90s. And so I guess, as far as covering a team and when they made it to the NBA Finals against the Bulls in 1996, now they ended up losing, the Sonics did, in six games, but still, it was a terrific series, and the Bulls went 70-12 that year. So that was a lot of fun to cover that series. And, just another story that stood out to me because it was so much fun was caddying for Charles Barkley one time down in Lake Tahoe at that celebrity tournament that they have every July. And I just found a whim. Barkley was on a conference call with reporters, and each reporter had two questions you could ask. And so I think I tossed him a softball question about the charity that they were supporting. And then my second question, I just said, hey, any chance you need a caddy in the Pro-Am because I'm going to be down there? And he said, sure. And so I ended up caddying for Charles Barkley and hanging out with him for, it's not like with buddies or anything, but it was kind of cool to see him interacting with fans and carrying his clubs for 5 or 6 hours that day in Lake Tahoe. And pretty amazing to watch him gamble, too. I'm probably going on too long here. I don't know how much time you guys have. I went into that high rollers room to kind of say, hey, Charles, I'm your caddy. What time should I meet you tomorrow? And so I'm standing there, and he's at a table with Brandi Chastain, the soccer player, and Emmitt Smith. But the thing I'll never forget is that he was playing two hands of blackjack at the same time. And he had three chips on one side and three chips on the other. And they were a color of chip that I'd never seen before. I've seen black, green, and red, but I'd never seen the chartreuse colored chip that he had. And it turns out that they were $5,000 chips. So while I was talking to him, he was playing $15,000 a hand and playing $30,000 at the same time. And basically the dealer had to ask him, hey, Charles, do you want a hit? Do you want a hit? And, I mean, I just was looking at that thing. It's $30,000, and he's not even paying attention. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was one of those stories. I feel really lucky that I was able to, do some stories like that at the Post-Intelligencer.
Now, Jim, from reading your stories over the years and now listening to you at 710 ESPN Seattle, it's safe to say that you don't shy away from a good bet at all yourself.
Well, yeah, I guess it's safe to say that. I thought you were going to say it's safe to say you don't know the first thing about broadcasting, and you would be right about that because I've got this sports writer background. And I swear to God, I go in there every day, and I just, I do the best that I can, and I just try to be myself, and that's probably what you guys do, too. And as far as the formatics of broadcasting and the fundamentals of everything, I still am trying to get up to speed with that, but I figure I'm going to sink or swim one way or the other in the radio business, and I just try and go in there and be myself. And I tell myself if I ever get fired, I can come home and at least look myself in the mirror and say, well, I wasn't trying to be anybody I'm not. I would hate to try and be somebody I'm not. So I guess if you're going to bring up the gambling thing, I've been known to bet on a few things in my life, and And my mom just can't stand that. But, you know, she's always looking out for her little boy, even at the age of 56. But, yeah, I like to go to a casino from time to time, maybe play some poker, some craps, you know, sports bets, that kind of thing. Sure, why not?
Hey, it's all entertainment, right? You're still got a roof over your head, and you can feed your dog, so there you go.
Yeah, you don't get too stupid with it.
Jim Moore joining us from 710 ESPN Seattle. Jim, I was going back to the Cougars really quick. I was really taken aback when I saw the score and that the Cougars were a touchdown down. And I thought to myself, that was a victory. You know, you don't get a moral victory. You don't get any points. You don't get any recognition for that. But to go to Auburn and have a chance, as Sean Boyd and you guys already talked about briefly, that to me was almost a double take. I did not expect that. And, you know, that leads to good things ahead for what Mike Leach is doing there in Pullman.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the only thing, I mean, I looked at that game and I thought, okay, I know the Cougars had a bad year. Everybody knows. I think, what did we do? We beat Eastern Washington, UNLV, and then, of course, the Huskies in the Apple Cup. But aside from the last 10 minutes in that Apple Cup, we were looking like we were heading to a 2-10 season and winless in the Pac-12. And so, you know, I mean, going into the game, I was kind of thinking, all right, year two of the air raid, Mike Leach and all that, I figured in any other circumstance, they'd probably have a rough time down there at Auburn, but Auburn is coming off a bad year, too. They were 3-9, and looking at their opponents that they beat last year, they were small schools. So I kind of hoped that this wasn't a great Auburn team, and they're trying to get going under a new coach. And I was happy to see that their quarterback wasn't very good. I mean, he was quick. They had a great rushing offense. But the kid was erratic, and so that helped our chances a little bit too.
Yeah, the kid that you're talking about, he was a transfer in, and I believe he played on the defensive side of the ball before coming over and becoming a quarterback. And so a real interesting turn of events down there on the plains in Auburn. You know, still, I mean, Wazoo played against a really good football team and a strong SEC team.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's Auburn. They won a national championship over Oregon a few years ago. And, again, they've got some five-star recruits there. It's in the SEC. And I was happy to see that Mike Leach during the summertime said something about feeling like the lower half of the Pac-12 was better than the lower half of the SEC, and I thought, man, what's Leach saying now? He's always saying some crazy stuff. But it turned out, that was another thing I was kind of holding my hopes out on. It turned out he was right.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I mean, on any given Saturday, you know, these guys, yeah, you know, I believe that too, and on any given Saturday, you know, these guys can, you know, you never know which way the ball's gonna fall.
Well, I wish you were right about that. But the last 5 years of Cougar football, we've watched the ball fall in the other team's direction far too often. I'm at a point. That game the other night was the best Cougar football game from opening kickoff to the final buzzer that I can remember. I mean, it's been so long since we played a complete game, and understanding that we lost, but still, that was one of the better games I've seen us play, I think, since, geez, it might have been Alex Brink to Brandon Gibson to win the Apple Cup in 07. Maybe that was our last really good game. I mean, I know we beat the Huskies last year in the Apple Cup, but we had a good 10 minutes in that game. We didn't have a good 60. But this game here, I felt like we had a good 60 minutes, and it gives you hope for the future.
Definitely. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Cougars play in the next few weeks to see if they can actually make a mark in this tough Pac-12 and, you know, see if they can strengthen that conference as the year goes on. Hey, Jim, I got a question for you on the lines of the gambling and the betting. Let's see where you are in this situation here with the Seattle Supersonics. You've got Chris Hansen and everything that's come out over the past few weeks on what's been going on down here in Sacramento. If you were to gamble and put a bet on the NBA right now, what are the odds that the Sonics return to Seattle in the next couple of years?
Oh, boy, the next 2 years. See, I mean, when that whole Sacramento thing was happening, there was a point there where I thought it was about a 90% chance that the Kings were coming to Seattle. And then things shifted so quickly with Kevin Johnson putting together everything the way he did. And I kind of had some misgivings about that because I remember covering KJ, and he always seemed like a good guy. And I didn't really like the idea of, quote-unquote, stealing another town's team and moving them to Seattle because it was so similar to what happened here. But as far as – I really thought that what would come out of that NBA meeting was that Sacramento – I was hoping the Kings would stay in Sacramento and that the NBA would say, hey, you know what, Chris Hansen, Steve Ballmer, we're going to award you an expansion team in 2015 or 2016, something like that. But that, to me right now, I think with David Stern retiring – in February, when the new guy takes over, I think it's Adam Silver, maybe they'll be more open to the new TV contract, to looking at expansion, and that's what I'm hoping will happen. Now, if I had to bet on it, 50-50 on it. This is kind of lame to say 50-50, but that's kind of how I feel about it. 50-50 that the Seahawks, the Sonics will return to Seattle by the year 2015.
Hmm. Those are pretty good odds.
You think it's about 50-50? I think it's less than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say those are pretty decent odds, 50-50 right now.
Well, I mean, if it's less than that, then you think there's less of a chance or more of a chance?
I'd probably say that there's less of a chance, because
I'd be optimistic with that 50-50.
Yeah.
I would go with more of a chance just because, as you mentioned, Stern's out the door. Adam Silver's coming in. Hopefully he doesn't have the preconceived notions and biases that maybe Stern did from previous things gone wrong. And, like you've mentioned, the new TV contract is going to be worth billions, so it's not going to be anything to where the rest of the league owners are going to be losing money if one more team is there, especially if Chris Hansen and Ballmer and the guys give the concession of, hey, we'll pay into the profit sharing fund, or we won't take anything from it to make offset, what could be any losses. And, it's just asinine that there's not a team in the 12th largest market in the country.
Well, yeah. I can't believe they turned away two guys like Chris Hansen and Steve Ballmer, but they did. And so hopefully things will change in the future. I've got a couple of 9-year-old twins. And they're heavy into the NBA. They're always watching NBA games. They're into, of all teams, they love the Thunder because of Westbrook and Durant, and they've got fathead posters in their bedroom. And for me, I look back, and it'd be kind of like going full circle, because when the Sonics came to town, I was 9 years old, and I hope that my kids will be able to grow up with the NBA like I did when the Sonics came here in 67.
Hmm. Jim, I'm curious if you have a few anecdotes on what you learned from the sports broadcasting great Kevin Calabro. You were his co-host until he left the show. What did you learn from the great KC?
Well, I learned to just be myself, basically. I mean, that's usually what I do anyway, but Kevin would come in there, and he was prepared, and so was I, but a lot of what we did together was just conversational, like if we were in a bar just talking about different sports and things that were going on. And so he really helped me with, I basically deferred to him because I was a sidekick, and it was the Kevin Calabro show. It didn't have my name involved in it. So, I mean, and I knew him when we covered the Sonics, so we had a little bit of a relationship that stemmed back to the 90s. But it was really a lot of fun to work with Kevin, and there are days, I mean, I love the guys I'm working with now, too, Michael Gray and Dave Wyman, but I sure did have a lot of fun with Kevin.
That's right. You can find that show on 710sports.com, 710 ESPN Seattle, Wyman, Mike, and more afternoons. And, you just got done with your show here an hour or two ago in Seattle, so you're working on a holiday as well.
Yeah, we did. We went down to the VMAC there, the Seahawks headquarters, and I'm glad we did because the Seahawks returned to practice and Pete Carroll talked to the media, and we had Golden Tate on the show, so it was kind of fun to catch up with him and get the latest on who's going to be playing this week, some of the nagging injuries, some of the players are going to be back at practice this week. And so, yeah, everything's getting ramped up. They want us to talk Seahawks 90% of the time, so that's what we've been doing.
Now, Jim, I don't know if you're aware of this, but my co-host Sean Boyd took some classes there at Auburn. So you've got a cougar and a tiger going at it just like they were on the football field.
Well, and Jim, you know, I went down there for the last Cougar game 6 or 7 years ago, and we ended up losing that one too. But I spent a week down there, and I had a great time. I stayed at the hotel that was right next to the campus.
Yeah.
People were really nice there. I love the tailgating area, the area where all the out in the pastures there, where everybody parks there.
The RVs.
Yes. Yeah, this huge, huge area. I remember everybody rolling in on a Wednesday.
Right.
The Saturday game. And the Southern hospitality, everybody was really, really nice. I enjoyed my time down there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've mentioned to Sean before, and I mentioned to a lot of people. I understand that, you know, the Pac-12, has a strong following, but there is nothing like SEC football, and you had mentioned it. I remember classes ending at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, and the motorhomes just collapse all over the campus, and there's nothing like it. The hospitality, there's people cooking for you, and it's just fanfare all the way up until the clock hits zeros on Saturday night. And, you know, growing up in Washington State in the Seattle-Tacoma area and being a Husky fan, I know that's something that's just is beyond your belief as well. But, you know, going down to Auburn, going to school there and seeing just how the SEC is run, I wound up walking away with a heartfelt appreciation for what I experienced at Auburn. And, you know, those are things that you just can't take away, you know, those joys. And you know, I'm very pleased with what Washington State has done, on the other hand, and going down and playing a very tough SEC football team.
Well, just a quick little story I passed along. Tommy Tuberville, was that the coach's name?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, Tommy.
Yeah. That's who, when the Cougars played Auburn, that was who the coach was. And I went to practice. I went to an Auburn practice because I wanted to talk to some players and talk to the coach. Well, during practice, Tommy Tuberville came over to talk to me. And he basically had heard that some Seattle reporter was going to be there. And he came over, just, you know, shook hands, welcome to Auburn, hope you have a great time. Tell me about a restaurant that I should go to while I was there. And it was, I think, a barbecue place. It looked like a Dairy Queen inside. I forget the name of it, but it was fantastic where he sent me to go. And then the athletic director was great, too. He invited me up to his office, and we talked about the athletic program there, and he gave me a book that he had written, and he signed it. And, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed going down there. And it sounds like a lot of Cougar fans made the trip this year, too, and when I see on Facebook and hear from friends, they had a great time down there as well.
Yeah, well, with the exception of the massive stadium of Jordan Air, I believe 85 to 88,000 fans. With the exception, I mean, the campus looks very similar to Washington State and the area around.
Yeah, you know, it is a little similar, but yeah, you're right. The stadium is so huge, and I like that bird that they have, that war eagle thing that they let go before the game. And it was fantastic. I just was really glad that I got a chance to experience that.
Yeah, well, there's a long story behind the War Eagle. I can tell you that after the show. But, yeah, I mean, there are some great myths that the reason why that eagle soars down onto the field. But, yeah, I'm glad you had the chance to experience that.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really, really cool. I would love to go down. You know, I mean, the kind of thing that's on my bucket list is always, it's always something about college football for me. It's always at the top of the list where I'm trying to do I want to go to a bunch of different college football stadiums and see some different games. I've been to Michigan, Yeah, I've been to Auburn, and I've been to most of the Pac-12 schools, but I want to branch out and go to the world's largest cocktail party and some other games like that.
Jim, I appreciate your time with us tonight. I've kept you longer than I told you I would. I've got two questions left for you here on the Double with the Double S Express as we talk to Jim Moore of 710sports.com, triple co-host Wyman, Mike, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Jim, the first being, are you still sticking to your 19-0 Seattle Seahawks season forthcoming here in 2013?
Well, I am, but I'm kind of wavering because of all these injuries they've had, and I'm trying to figure out who's going to start at a couple of defensive line positions. But, yeah, I got to stick with it. I still think they have the best team in the NFL, and the schedule is going to be difficult. They've got that one stretch where they've got four games out of five on the road, and most of them are against playoff opponents from last year. But if you're the best team in the NFL, I think I saw something earlier this year that there was only one game that they weren't going to be favored in, and that might be that's a game at San Francisco in December. I think the game at Atlanta is a pick'em. So if you go by those guys who know what they're talking about in Vegas, they have a good chance of running the well, they don't have a good chance of running the table, but what the heck, I'll stick with it. Yeah, I think they can still go 19-0, as crazy as that sounds.
There you go.
And, Jim, my last question for you. It's Labor Day. It's a holiday, even though, like us, you worked today and had your radio show. You're a fan of beverages and adult beverages being beer and microbrews. Do you have one with you now?
I do not. So let me disappoint you, but okay, here's what happened. I was at a 710 ESPN viewing party at a bar in Magnolia, the Village Pub in Magnolia, and so I drove there, and I thought, all right, I never want to drive drunk, and so I started adding up how many I had, and I thought, oh, I can't drive home, and so I got a cab, paid $58, and it was well worth it. I got home. That's a long way of saying that when I woke up Sunday morning, I wasn't feeling so hot. And so here it is, Monday night, and the thought of booze just doesn't appeal to me just yet. So it was crazy. I was talking to somebody about it today, Jessica McIntyre, the producer of the show. I mean, back in the day, it wouldn't have been any big deal to have six beers and a couple of shots of Fireball in a five-hour period. I think that's about
wow.
What I have. If I was 22 years old, that would have been no big deal. But, at 56, it was beyond my limit. And I had a cab take me home, and I paid the price yesterday. And so the thought of any alcohol right now just it's going to take me a little while. I kind of let down Coops by saying that, but, I mean, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
Well, Jim, it sounds like you were hanging with the college kids there on Saturday.
No, I wasn't trying. I wasn't trying to be 25 again. I just, they were. When you're watching Cougar football, you got to keep the beer going, don't you?
That's what I hear. Well, I don't know how to take that. I mean, I'm thinking that, okay, that's great that you didn't have a beer in hand to talk with us. So I am going to take that as a positive.
Next time.
I would blow a 0-0 right now. I haven't had anything since I left that bar Saturday night.
All right.
Jim Moore, thank you so much for your time tonight on this Labor Day, and great talking to you, and definitely download the new 710 Sports app on your smartphone. I am very grateful you guys finally have that. You can find all your past shows and interviews and all your work at 710sports.com. As you are the triple-headed co-hosts of Wyman, Mike, and Moore, afternoons, 710 a.m. ESPN Seattle. Jim, thanks so much for your time. I will be your way. Let's see here. The Jacksonville game in a couple weeks, 3 weeks in September, working the game for CBS. So if you're there, I'll definitely come find you, and we'll chat.
Hey, that sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me. I really enjoyed it, and go Cougs.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
See you guys.
There goes Jim Moore of Wyman, Mike, and Moore, 710 ESPN Seattle. Wow, so many different areas we can go with that one, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you talk about two ends of the pendulum with John Chalesnik on earlier and then Jim Moore. Two guys that ended in the same direction, if you will, on doing broadcasting and analyst stuff. And, they couldn't be any more polar opposites, if you will.
Definitely. On this Labor Day, we'll go ahead and get to one final break, come back and wrap up the show. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Back after this.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles. Great show today.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Yeah, it definitely was, as we had a couple big-time guests on, as always, first being John Chalesnik, CEO of STAAtalent.com, and he has been on ESPN Radio and Sporting News Radio throughout his sports broadcasting career. And big-time guest number two, Jim Moore of 710sports.com, Washington State Cougar alum and triple-headed host of Wyman, Mike, and More, 710 ESPN Seattle. So definitely want to thank all of our listeners, especially the ones that stayed up late on the East Coast, down in the Bayou, Louisiana. Thank you so much for staying up late and supporting the Double S Express. Hope you enjoyed the show. We definitely liked the fact that we brought some insight to the sports broadcasting world, and, you know, we're able to bring some comedy as well with the insights of Jim Moore and the antics of what's going on with his weekend and the holiday and things that happened with him on Saturday hosting a viewing party at the Coug game. And it was a little bit of work and a lot of play there for Jim Moore as his Cougars fell to Auburn on Saturday. Had a good game, did the Cougars. They ended up falling by a touchdown over across the state in Seattle. The Washington Huskies dismantled number 19 Boise State with a 38-6 win, and they definitely did retake Montlake. The Huskies showing that they may be for real with Steve Sarkisian coached Huskies here in 2013. So hope you had a great Labor Day and a safe Labor Day and a great weekend as we get back to the grind and get back to the work week and move on to the dog days of summer that are more in the rear view mirror as we look to the leaves to turn and fall, and football on the agenda. College football definitely has begun, and this weekend, actually starting Thursday, we look to the NFL game, game number one, the Ravens and the Broncos, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, the Ravens and the Broncos, that should be an exciting game, week number one. You know, there's a big to-do talking about all of the, you know, the big poster or the big billboard in the front of the stadium, in Mile High Stadium. You know, of course you have, you know, the battle of the quarterbacks there. So, I mean, I think it should be a great game in Denver.
Now, with our Northern California and Pacific Northwest ties, why don't you give your thoughts on the Raiders heading into Indianapolis on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I would like to say that there's a silver lining into this game for us as the Oakland Raiders. And, You know, the big thing is of course, Terrell Pryor getting a chance to get his first NFL start. That came from one of our guests, Vic Tafer, from the San Francisco Gate Chronicle. He released that information out just a few minutes ago that Terrell Pryor will be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. And, you know, I believe that right now Terrell gives us the best chance to win. But at the same time, there are a lot of things that need to be fixed. And right now I'm thinking that Indianapolis has the upper hand. And so as much as I'm looking for some great things to happen, I believe that the final outcome will be Indianapolis on top.
And up here in the Pacific Northwest, the NFL team, the Seattle Seahawks, heads to Carolina, which is a bit odd because they were there last year playing in Carolina, and they're back there again this Sunday, a 10 a.m. kick on the West Coast. And I look for Russell Wilson and company to take care of business and begin this 2013 campaign on a winning note and get off to a good start. Granted, there's Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and the powers that be on the Panthers' side, but as the Seahawks showed last year, that was not enough, and the Seattle Seahawks are better this year than they were last year, so same result in Carolina. The Seahawks should come away with a victory.
Yeah, I believe that Seattle should go out and take care of business. It looked like things are smooth sailing for Seattle, especially in the preseason, going 9-0 over the past 3 years, actually, in preseason. But more importantly, the cohesiveness that Seattle portrays says that they're going to definitely come out in week one with a victory.
Yeah, Sean, what a great show we had here on this Labor Day. We had big-time guest John Chalesnik of STAAtalent.com talking about his website and what he's doing for sports broadcasters and aspiring sports broadcasters, as well as Jim Moore of 710sports.com in Seattle.
Yeah, both great guests on the show. And, you know, of course, we would expect nothing less on the Double with the Double S Express. And so, you know, there are some great insights from both of our interviewees. And, you know, I mentioned John Chalesnik. There are some things that he mentors you and I on. And so these are things that we'll definitely get better on. And, of course, having Jim on, just being vibrant and excited. And we didn't get a chance to talk to him as much as we wanted to about, you know, the other Seattle teams, but it was great to hear his take on the game down in Auburn, Alabama.
Absolutely. Hopefully Mike Leach has things going in the right direction for the Washington State Cougars in Pullman. And based on the game Saturday in Auburn, you have to say that that might be happening.
Yeah, you know, you never want to talk about moral victories. But, you know, in this case, I believe that, you know, a moral victory is in order. You talk about the big, bad SEC. You talk about a historic history in the Auburn Tigers. And so for Washington State to go down and play a very good game, again, hats off to them.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 17, Labor Day edition, as we bring you sports talk on a holiday. Sports do not stop. We had games today, games all over the weekend, so we are here bringing you the best of it all. Show 17 just about in the books.
Yeah, I definitely want to send some shouts out to all of our listeners. And again, we'd mentioned this before, listeners as far as Guam. Of course, we have listeners in Honolulu, listeners down south as well. And one in particular, I want to say a shout out to my aunt Sally, who was just here over the weekend, and my cousin Pat from Colorado. But Aunt Sally down from Macon, Georgia, it was just a treat to get a chance to be around her and get some of the wisdom. And you know, if you're listening right now, Aunt Sally, I know that it's late. I believe it's about 10:12. Just want to say I love you, and I thank you for coming out, and thank you for being an inspiration to our family.
Very good times for the Boyd family this past weekend. And actually, hey, you made it back safe from Hawaii, so all things are good. And Devon's got books and basketball on the brain.
Yeah, books and basketball. He missed out on family here. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about my cousin Pat. She made this pecan. It's a pecan cheesecake. And, man, this stuff is incredible. And so You know, she made a few of them for the family, and, you know, we had this big get-together. But I'm looking forward to having a slice of that after we get off the air.
Have a second one and say that it's for me.
Yes, definitely, I will.
All right, that's going to wrap up show number 17 here on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean, can you believe 17 in the books?
Man, we are just rolling, and just like John was saying, repetition, repetition, and we are in full stride, my friend, and looking forward to another great show next week.
That's right. We'll talk to you again next week for show 18. For Sean Boyd, I'm Sean Wally.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.